So take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. John chapter 15 in your copy of God's Word. We've noted it several times before that Jesus commands his followers to love one another. We've heard this before. We're going to hear it again today. And if there's something that's repeated in Scripture, then it's especially important that you sit up and take notice of it, and we'll do that today. So we're going to hear it again today in the passage before us in John 15. And at first glance, when you hear the command, when you see commands like this one, and this command in particular, when you hear the command, you might have one of two reactions. I'll suggest that you might have a reaction like this that says, when you see this command to love one another, where you say, no problem. I love my friends. I love my family. I don't have any trouble loving the people that are dearest to me. I know how to love one another. I can do that. The second reaction could be, well, that's impossible. You could go to, those would be two extremes. Easy, I got this. Or, that's impossible. I can't do that. Some people just can't be loved. And both reactions can be common, but both reactions are actually the way the world understands love. It's not the way that God's people should understand love, especially when we come to this command of Christ to love one another. What the world does, the world bases their love on what feels good or what feels right or how they feel about a person. You can hear it in statements like, oh, it was love at first sight. And maybe you've said that before, but that's kind of a worldly way of thinking. It was love at first sight, or we just fell in love. You can also hear it in statements like, we just fell out of love. We just don't love each other anymore. Or I don't feel like I can love that person anymore. Or that person is so hard to love, it's impossible to love them. I can't. We need to see today that Jesus has something far different in mind when he commands that his followers love one another. Let's look at the text together. Let's be careful as we look at the text that we not gravitate toward one of those two extremes, one of those two natural ways of thinking. But let's seek to be taught by the Word together. So follow along as I read John 15, beginning at verse 12. I'll read through verse 16. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. John 15 and verse 12, where we hear Jesus saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, did you notice how different this is from the world's way of thinking about love? First, notice this. Let's take note here that this is a commandment that Jesus gives. "This is my commandment," says Jesus, "that you love one another as I have loved you." So first note the commandment Jesus gives in verse 12. Then we're going to see, I want to show you four ways Jesus describes the kind of love he commands. But look at verse 12 again. "This is my commandment." Is this optional? I don't get that from the text. Do you? I hope you don't get that from the text. No. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We noted last time here in John 15 that Jesus is giving his disciples the instruction, and we noted it, that they must abide in him. This is for all believers today. That believers need to abide in Christ. We need to walk with Christ. In other words, we need to be obedient to Christ. And His Word must abide in them. You can't be obedient if you don't know the Word of God. So the Word must abide in you, and you must abide in Christ. And that abiding, more specifically, looks like obedience to the teaching of Jesus. Now, note this. Jesus doesn't stop loving you if you're disobedient. Do you realize that? Sometimes we get that mistaken notion. Because, again, we're trapped in this earthly way of thinking, this natural way of thinking, this worldly way of thinking, that when someone mistreats us or goes against us, we find it difficult to love them. Jesus doesn't find it difficult to love you if you disobey. That doesn't give you a license to disobey. But Jesus doesn't stop loving you. But you can move yourself away from the love of Christ. You can move yourself out of the abiding in the love of Christ. How do you do that? You do that by your disobedience, by moving away from the truth of God's Word. You are no longer abiding in Christ, and His Word is no longer abiding in you, and you are no longer enjoying His love that never changes. So Jesus says back in verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You will enjoy my love. You will find peace and contentment from my love that never changes. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, here in verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So I want you to note that, again, this is a command. Jesus is teaching something that is not optional equipment for the believer that wants to abide with Christ with His Word abiding in them. This is not optional. We need this, and the Lord knows that we need this. So Jesus says, "This is my commandment." And in no way is Jesus connecting love for one another with your feelings. Now, you may have feelings, but this is not based on your feelings. There may be great feeling in your love for others. That's fine. But the kind of love which Jesus speaks of here isn't based on feeling. This isn't like, if you feel like loving one another, this is my command. There's no feeling involved in this as the basis for your love for one another. I appreciate what Charles Swindoll says of this when he writes, "The Greek word here is not the fickle eros or even the heartfelt philia, but it's the word agape. Agape often involves deep feeling, but it begins with a decision." Note that. Often involves deep feeling, but it begins with a decision. He goes on to say, "Agape doesn't consider merit and doesn't wait for inspiration. Agape is the kind of love exemplified by God, especially in relationship with His Son. Moreover, the tense of the verb is present, which should suggest repeated or ongoing action." So it should be like this: keep loving one another. Keep loving one another. And then he says, "The quality of that love must be the same kind as the love we receive from Christ. He is our example and our standard." So there's an important distinction we need to make as we move further into the text. What Jesus is commanding here of believers, of those who are to be abiding in Christ, with His Word abiding in them, is that they love one another, and this love is to begin with those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you say, "This is where my being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, to this command to love, is to begin." And then it's to flow from there to those around you in the world, that it flows from you to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and then you keep loving beyond those people to the people around you in this world. Just remember here that Jesus is not speaking of the kind of love that's based on how you feel about those around you. That's such an important distinction that we need to make. This is the love that's based on a decision to obey Christ. So a believer in Jesus could properly think this way of loving others, making a conscious choice. You could think this way properly. I'll love that person. As unlovable as they are at times, I'm going to love them based not on my feelings, but I will love them based on my love for Jesus Christ because of what He has finished for me at Calvary by paying for my sins. I will love that person because I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And that believer could also think of love this way properly. I'm going to keep loving that person. Just as Christ has loved me and keeps loving me with that unchanging love in spite of myself, even though I'm not always lovable, and we're not. Because I still sin against God, but I'm going to love Jesus like Jesus loves me. I'm going to love that person with the example of the Lord Jesus Christ ever forefront in my mind. That's a proper way of thinking about this love that Jesus commands. That kind of love sounds easy, doesn't it? Doesn't sound easy, does it? It's not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy. No, we've got a problem here because this love is very hard to practice. Or is it just me? I don't think it is just me. It's all of us, isn't it? It's very hard to practice this love. This kind of love is not natural. That's why it's hard. And it's so countercultural. It's not the way the world is telling you how to love. That kind of love is not natural to the way that you think. You think naturally, kind of selfishly. You think about yourself first. This is not the kind of thinking we naturally bring to our relationships. Because what we gravitate toward in our relationships is a selfish kind of thinking, a self-centered kind of love. That's why, if you can think back to when you were a kid in school, that's why as a kid in school, and you never did this, of course, but you saw other people do it, of course. When they were sweet on someone, they would say to their friend, "Hey, ask so-and-so if they like me." Or you would send them a note. You wouldn't do this, but somebody else would do this. They would send a note that says, if you like me, check yes. If you don't, check no. Why did you do that? Oh, you didn't do that, did you? Why do people do that? You want your love returned, don't you? You want to have that same kind of love returned to you. If you love someone, you want that love returned. That's kind of a selfish way of thinking of love, though. That's not a godly way of thinking about love that Jesus commands us here. Your love, you did that because your love was self-centered. And naturally so. So what should this kind of love for one another, which Jesus commands, look like in the believer? How do we learn to practice this kind of love obediently? Let's remember that what Jesus is commanding is part of what you receive with the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. You receive the ability to practice this kind of love with it as a part of the new nature that you receive with Christ. So when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins and you believe in Jesus, He gives you the Holy Spirit to live in you. God, the Spirit, to live in you, to live with you, to help you, prepare you, to teach you, to train you, to convict you of sin that you need to repent of and get right with God, and to strengthen you for obedience. And when you go to the Word, the Holy Spirit helps you understand the Word and apply the Word. And this ability to love in obedience to this command of Christ is a part of the new nature. So remember that. So even though this might not be the first kind of love you're drawn to in and of yourself, this is a love you can learn to practice in obedience to Christ. if you will take steps to obey Christ. And so you've got to get there where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to take steps to obey Christ in this kind of love. So I want to help you. How can you be helped from the Scriptures here this morning? To help you understand this kind of love, Jesus describes it. I want to show you how Jesus describes this love in four ways. There are four ways Jesus describes this kind of love. Here's the first way. This kind of love is self-sacrificing. Note verse 13. This kind of love is self-sacrificing. It's the giving up of self. Verse 13, look at it. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, at the time, though the disciples likely didn't see this, certainly Jesus has in mind here the kind of love he is about to demonstrate for sinners on the cross when he is crucified for sinners. There's no greater love than the love that Jesus Christ demonstrates on the cross for sinners. There's no greater love than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he willingly gave himself up to accomplish the forgiveness of sins. Later, as verse 26 points to here in John 15, the Holy Spirit would bear witness about the Son. And no doubt this example would be very clear then, just as it's clear to us now as we hold our Bibles in our hands and we read the New Testament, we see Jesus is the greatest example of laying down one's life for his friends. Giving one's life for another is an incredible act of love. Now, it is not likely that you or I will be called to actually physically give our life for one another. But God still commands you to love as if you're laying down your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And what he's calling you to is still something that you aren't prone to do unless you understand that this is also an expression of your love for God. This is an outworking. This is a demonstration of your love for God. As you love others, you love one another, as Jesus Christ loved you and gave himself for you, this is an expression of your love for God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of love for Christ, and out of devotion to Christ and following his example, you put others first. You begin to think about the needs of others ahead of your own needs. You be willing to sacrifice self for the good of others. And that's not easy. That's extremely difficult at times. But that leads us to another defining characteristic of the kind of love that Jesus commands. Here's number two. This kind of love is shaped by obedience. It is shaped by obedience. Look at what Jesus says in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. First of all, I want you to notice here, and we need to take note here, that your obedience doesn't make you a friend of Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a friend of Christ. He's your friend. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you've repented of sin and trusted in Christ, you are his friend. No, your obedience gives you gives this to the world and those around you. It gives evidence of whose you are. You are his, and you are his friend. So your obedience gives evidence that you are a friend of Christ. In other words, your obedience gives evidence that you belong to Christ, that you've been redeemed by his shed blood, and that you are committed to fulfilling his aims, his purposes. And so you love one another not because it's easy, but because you are Christ's. You are his. And you are seeking to go about the business of Christ. You're seeking to accomplish his good purposes through your life lived here on earth. You love because you made the mission of Jesus your mission. You love because you want to please your Savior. And as you love, you show yourself to be a friend of Jesus, that you belong to Christ. So Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You show yourself to be mine. You show the world that you are my friend if you do what I command you. So first, this kind of love for one another is self-sacrificing. And second, this kind of love is shaped by obedience. Thirdly, this kind of love is also informed through fellowship with Jesus. It's informed through fellowship with Jesus. Note in verse 15 that the wisdom of God is made known to those who are believers in and followers of Jesus. Look at verse 15 again. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is making the point that a servant isn't given the wisdom of the master. There's no inside information like a friend would share with a friend. No, a servant is expected to serve without such privileged information. I often think of those who serve in the military. What happens? You are given orders. There are lots of orders given if you're in the military. Lots and lots of orders. At no point are you allowed to say, but wait, I don't want to do that. There's trouble for those who say, I don't want to do that in the military. You follow orders. You do what you're told. And no servant is expected to be, it's not expected to be giving the servant all kinds of information. What happens to the servant? The servant is given orders. Those in the military are given orders. Often, you don't know what you're going to do until you get there. They say, go there. And you're like, why are we going here? And once you get there, then they tell you what to do. But that's not true of people who are in Christ, praise God. Those who are believers in and followers of Jesus, He has called friends. And to them, He reveals the truth of the kingdom of God. Friends of Christ, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, remember, we talked about that new nature a moment ago. You receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who takes up residence and now dwells in you to help you understand the Word of God and apply it to your life and to obey it. It's one of the reasons we need to read the Word of God. And to do so with faith, we're not just reading for information. We should be reading with a heart of faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He lives, that He died for me, that He lives today. I believe this is God's Word for me. I believe this is God speaking to me. So I read the Bible with faith. And because we do, and when we do, God opens our hearts and our minds, our eyes, to understand the truth. How gracious of God. How gracious of God to give to His children. How gracious of God to give to the friends of Christ the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And you and I need the Spirit of God. We need His help. We need those truths of God from His Word. As we dwell in them, as we abide in them and they dwell in us, we need those truths shaping our hearts and our minds and our thinking if we're going to learn to love one another in obedience to the command of Christ. We need a totally different way of thinking about love than what we've received from the natural way of thinking about love, from the worldly way or the unbelieving way of thinking about love. This is why those who don't know Jesus as Savior can't truly love like Jesus loves. But followers of Jesus can love like Him because they are informed by His Word. They are transformed by the Word. You are given a new way of thinking and a new way of behaving by the Word of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what fellowship with Jesus Christ looks like. Do you want fellowship with Christ? Get into His Word. Read it with faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work for you, and ask God to help you obey Him with the Word of truth dwelling in you richly. So this kind of love for one another which Jesus commands is self-sacrificing. And this kind of love is shaped by obedience, and it's informed through fellowship with Jesus. And there's one more characteristic of this love for one another which Jesus commands. This kind of love is motivated by the mission of Jesus. We noted it briefly a moment ago. But this kind of love is motivated by the mission of Jesus. This is not about your mission. This is about His mission. This is not about you doing your thing. This is about you taking the Word of God, having it guide the way you think and behave and act to carry out the mission of Christ by your obedience. This is about fulfilling His mission. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Note that people who are followers of Jesus, they were chosen for the purpose of fruit bearing, and that this fruit is abiding fruit. It is lasting fruit. It is eternal fruit. It's spiritual fruit. This is fruit that abides. This is spiritual fruit that remains. And that's the purpose for which Jesus came, so that many would be saved from their sins, and for those who have trusted in Christ, that they might live the lives that they have, that God is entrusting to them for the glory of Christ, for God's glory. And so it follows that this is also what followers of Jesus are to be about. We're to be about the mission of Christ. We're to be about His mission. We're to be about living in such a way that people are pointed to Jesus with the way that we live, with the way that we speak, with the way that we do our work. We're to be about living in such a way that we are pointing people to our Savior. That at every opportunity that we have, we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, sharing the Scriptures, the Gospel. And Jesus says the way in which you're to live is to be defined by your love for one another. This is so important. So important we get this right. The way you live is to be defined in obedience to Christ's command to love one another. Because we may witness to unbelievers in many ways, there's really no more powerful witness to the love of Jesus for sinners than this, really. When you stop and think about this, there's all kinds of ways that we can share the gospel with people. But there's maybe no more powerful way than this, than when the watching world sees our love for one another as we, as God's children, seek to love one another. As they see that we're doing something that's not natural, that's not the world's way of thinking, and in obedience to Christ, we learn to love one another. That is a powerful witness to the watching world. When God's children, when friends of Christ, love one another. It's as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13:1. It's a sobering truth that he points to, that we could speak with tongues of men and of angels. I mean, if we could speak with tongues of men, if we could speak in all kinds of ways and with great skill, and with wonderful words, we may be able to share the gospel and in wonderful ways, and we may have learned helpful methods for sharing the gospel, and we might be able to quote scripture upon scripture upon scripture, sharing the truth of the gospel. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, but if we have not love, if we don't have love, you can share the gospel any way you want, but if you don't have love for your brother or sister in Christ, he says, you're no better than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You're no better than banging on a trash can. So Jesus says, go back to the truth of what Jesus says and take to heart this truth today, because we need to learn this. If we want the world to see Christ in us and through us, and we want them to hear the gospel we share with them, we need to learn this. This is my commandment, says Jesus, that you love one another as I have loved you. That love is self-sacrificing love. That's the kind of love that's shaped by obedience. It's the kind of love that's informed through fellowship with Christ, and it's the kind of love which is motivated by the mission of Christ to accomplish His purposes on earth with your life. May we all learn to love like that. May we glorify God like that as His church, and so honor and bring great glory to Him with every day that we have to live for His glory.